Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your powerful name. We know that we can never give beyond what you have already given us through Jesus Christ. And that great power and love that is offered to every single one of us. We just pray, God, that through these gifts that others would also come to know that great name of Jesus. We also lift up to you, God, prayers for those who are struggling right now. For those people around the world who are struggling to have a place to live. Particularly for our brothers and sisters in Haiti with Nehemiah Vision Ministries. We want to lift up those who are struggling with health problems here nearby. And in particular, we pray for Tim Paramore. We pray, God, that you would just surround him, that you would also be with all of those who are in rehab right now, Bill Crawford, Hobart Setzer, Joyce Bilsby, that you would be with Brian Emil as he goes in for his surgery this upcoming week. And we lift up those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, the families of Bernice McGarvey and Joyce Katoma. We know that you are an incredibly gracious God, quick to love, slow to anger. And we thank you, God, for all the ways that you are with us. And so we put all of this in your hands, trusting you that you will be with us along the journey. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So I mentioned earlier that I am Pastor Adrian Curtis, and it's really good to be back. Today we are celebrating Palm Sunday, and this is our entryway into Holy Week, which leads up to Easter next Sunday. And as we celebrate this day, and we are today looking at, there are a number of different passages that look at the events of Palm Sunday, but we're going to be looking at Luke in a little bit. But as I dove into the scripture, I had one question that came to mind. You're going to think this is weird. But I started thinking about the time and day and place of our deaths. How none of us know the future. And I started to wonder if you could peer into the future, if you could know everything, see everything, would you want to know the day and time and way that you die? I'm curious about that. And so actually, I want to take a survey. So if you would want to know the future, yes. Yes, you would like to know. Raise your hand. And a resounding yes somewhere. Okay, if you would not want to know, raise your hand. No. And a resounding no. Okay, good. So I'm curious, for those of you who said no, why not? You can go, yes, you can tell me. Because you can't do anything about it. So why, maybe it would make you worry. Okay.
Anxiety, I think it'd be frozen.
Yeah.
Am I spending my time wisely? Is this what I should be doing?
So you would maybe start counting down and then you'd be fearful and have all this anxiety that would impact your remaining days?
Yes.
Yes, maybe so. And I heard, did I hear something over here? So for people who do want to know, so if you do want to know the time and place, I'm curious, why? Why would you want to find out? You want to be ready, prepared. So fix your bucket list, get it all done. Okay, I could see that. So it would make you less fearful to be able to know what the future is. That's interesting. I'm curious, for all of you who do want to know the future, how many of you would be tempted if you knew to try to change it? Okay. All right. I don't know. I think I would be tempted a little bit if I knew the future, to try to change the outcome, to try to delay whatever that death was that was lurking for me. I don't know, that'd be a little tempting for me. There was a study, actually, just to give you a gauge. I think we're almost in line here, but there was a study where they asked that exact question. They studied 2,000 people, and they were in Spain and Germany, and men and women, and they found that 86.7% of all of those people did not want to know. So how most people, and we had a majority, I think, here that were like, no, no way. But that leaves, I'm not doing the math. Thank you, 13.3%. So you're in good company, those of you who would want to find out. There's a movie called Back to the Future. It came out in 1989. Have you all ever seen that movie? It's a classic, right? It kind of wrestles with that question. What if you could know the future? Would you try to change it? And so I have a video clip from that. And kind of interesting, this movie was made in 1989, but Marty McFly, which is played by Michael J. Fox, he finds himself in the year 2015. So you can also think to yourself, if this looks like 2015 to you, as you watch their prediction for what the future looked like.
The future.
Mexico. You can trust your car to the system with the star. Checking oil. Checking landing gear.
Shark still looks fake.
Hi, friends. Goldie Wilson III for Wilson Hover Conversion Systems. You know, when my grandpa was mayor of Hill Valley, he had to worry about traffic problems. But now, you don't have to worry about traffic. I'll hover convert your old road car into a Skyway Flyer for only $39,999.95. So come on down and see me, Goldie Wilson III, at any one of our 29 convenient locations.
So we do know that actually we can't travel to the future. There's no way for us to know the day and the time that we die. And as Methodists, we believe that we have free choice. And so there's a number of things that could even happen between now and then. Maybe there's no set path. Jesus did not have a DeLorean, but Jesus did know the future for himself, and that is in part because Jesus was born into this world for a reason, for a purpose, which was to sacrifice himself for us. We know that Jesus knew fully what he was going into because in Luke chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus flat out tells his disciples everything that's about to happen, and he's pretty specific. He says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. The Romans are going to arrest me. They're going to, you know, beat me and spit on me and flog me. And eventually, I'm going to be killed. And then 3 days later, I will come back from the grave. He did. He knew all of this in advance. And yet, he still walked into Jerusalem with his head held high. to the shouting and the accolades of those who were there. I think it's mind-boggling when you think about it. The courage, the bravery it must have taken for Jesus just to get on top of that horse and just ride into the city for the first time, knowing that at the end of that road was his own death. We can hear the story of his entrance into Jerusalem when we look at Luke chapter 19, verse 36 through 40. And I want to read that for all of you from the New Revised Standard Version. It's on the screen as well. But in this version, this accounting of Jesus' entrance, it says, as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." So here, imagine this scene. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. He's been warned by multiple people who were afraid for him, who didn't want him to go, and yet he goes anyway. It's Passover. So there are teeming amounts of people. Everyone was there. In the Jewish faith, Passover is still a really big deal. It's a big holiday. And so there are even more people in Jerusalem than usual. But even more, there are people there who have heard or seen what Jesus has done. In the book of John, Jesus brings Lazarus back from the grave right before he goes into Jerusalem. And so here they know this guy can even bring people back from the grave sometimes. And they're all waiting for Jesus, excited for him to enter the city. In the accounting from Luke, and so each of our gospels has a different way of telling the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. One of the other gospels talks about palm branches. That's why we have the palm branches, no worries. It does factor in. But actually, in the book of Luke, they take their cloaks, and they just put their cloaks on the ground. And the disciples put the cloaks over the colt, which Jesus sets up that transportation for himself, sends them to get the colt. They put their cloaks on the colt. And then imagine, can you imagine laying your coat down on the parade route so that the horse can walk over it? But that's what they did, is that they lined the parade route with all of their cloaks, and Jesus walked it, kind of like a red carpet. They are so loud. There is so much noise that the Pharisees are disrupted from whatever it is they're doing, and they come over and they say to Jesus, "Can you please tell your followers to keep it down?" And Jesus says, "I couldn't stop them if I wanted to. They're too excited." All of this is going on, and not a single person really truly realizes that Jesus is being welcomed to his death, that this is the road that would lead him to Calvary. Not Calgary. Jesus knows. He knows the entire time they're shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one." He knows. I can't even imagine the courage it must have taken him to get on that horse. It's amazing, actually, when you think about that. But maybe not so amazing to us today, because we see people take risky behavior all the time. I mean, we see people being brave and courageous. Anybody here a roller coaster rider? Anybody ride roller coasters? A few. Wow, not very many, actually. Anybody here ever skydive before? We are going to talk. That's awesome. Well, for some of you, it just might be, you know, a little life-threatening to eat the food of some people or get in the car with some people. But we have different things in our lives that require courage all the time. We have a lot of different risky things we do. And so maybe this doesn't seem so amazing. I don't know. David Cannonball Smith, Sr., he is a cannonball shooter. He spent his entire life getting shot out of a cannonball. Let me rephrase that. He was, in his younger days, shot out of a cannon 1,200 times. And he set the Guinness World Book record for the furthest that anyone has ever been shot out of a cannon, which, if you're curious and you were hoping to break his record, that is 200 feet over the top of two Ferris wheels. So you have to go 201 if you want to beat that. He was asked, why the heck did you do that? That's super stupid. Why would you shoot yourself out of a cannon? And his response was, have you ever heard the applause of thousands of people? It's amazing. I did it for the applause. Well, Jesus certainly has the applause. Here he is entering the city of Jerusalem to all of these groups of people. His disciples, they're shouting out, blessed is the one, Hosanna. He entered the city to applause. And yet, days later, he would find himself walking a lonely road, a road of suffering and betrayal. Crowds are not very dependable. And in fact, crowds, you've probably experienced it. If we're lucky to have the support of a crowd, it's intoxicating. But one second we have the crowd's support, the next second we find ourselves alone. Jesus, although he walked into the city with crowds of people shouting his name, excited to have him there, those crowds of people would disappear when things got rough, when Jesus was arrested. When he was tried, Pilate would put him in front of another crowd, and all of these people who had once supported him were either gone or silent. And that crowd of people, instead of shouting, Hosanna, that crowd of people would be shouting, crucify him. They would be nailing his coffin, nailing him to that cross. It takes courage to face that lonely road. And we know Jesus couldn't have done it for the accolades and the applause because in the days ahead, he didn't get them. He found himself alone and struggling. And so if we know that the pain is inevitable, and we who follow Jesus, we know that one second you can be on top of the world, the next second, life is broken and hard. Y'all ever had a bad day? We know those days are coming, so why bother? And we know in the story of Jesus that in just a few days, we're going to be celebrating and looking at his final moments, his final breath on Good Friday. Why bother with Palm Sunday? Why even mess with this? Well, it takes courage to face the pain and the struggle, but it also sometimes takes a little bit of courage to embrace the joy. And we do have a promise of joy all along the way as we journey through life. It finds us in unexpected places and ways, and it found Jesus that day. We can see at Palm Sunday, even though he knew his death was near, Jesus was always up for a good parade. For a little bit of joy and celebration in the midst of it. And who knows, maybe that parade gave him what he needed, a little bit of hope and encouragement to face the dark and difficult days that lie ahead of him. When we lived in Royal Center, last June, we were packing up our house before you move. All know, like, packing is no fun. And so that very last week before you move is the worst, right? You have to, like, all these things, you think you have the house packed, and then you discover there's, like, another closet or, like, another gigantic amount of things that you forgot you even had. And so here we are, our last week, and we're packing up. We're also saying goodbye to people. And one of those nights, we were outside spending some time with our neighbors. It was gorgeous outside, and kind of just spending our last final moments with them before we would be you know, leaving in a few days. And our neighbors, the Colfords, were volunteer firefighters. I think they still are. And so they got a call, 9:30 at night. We're getting ready to go inside, and they get a call on their little pager thing. They discovered that the girls' softball team had just made it to state. Yay! You might be wondering why the volunteer firefighter was called, because the girls got called to state or made it to state. There was no fire. Anybody know where Royal Center is? God bless all of you. Some of you have been up to worship there. And I saw a few hands over here. Awesome. And I hope my family would know where they just moved from. It's about 900 people, almost straight north of here in the middle of nowhere. And so they have a tradition. Every time somebody, one of the teams from their school, makes it someplace awesome, either wins a championship or makes it past into championships, when they come back from that game, the fire trucks will head a parade, and they will drive through the center of town with sirens blaring to celebrate the team. You can imagine, neighbors love it. And so here we were, 9:30 at night, the volunteer firefighters get a call. So they head out. They invite Evangeline to ride in the fire truck, actually. She did a very good job waving. And Sean and I find ourselves on a deserted street corner in Royal Center, because everything shuts down after 9 o'clock at night, waiting for a parade. They finally arrived at 10 o'clock, the fire truck, and there's Sean and I on the deserted street going. Then the two school buses come by, and the girls are so excited, and they're leaning out the windows, waving, and everyone's honking. And there we are waving. And then finally, all of the parents of all of the girls who had gone to the game, they drove through town too, honking their horns, waving out the windows. And that was it. That was the parade. But I can't think about that night without smiling a little bit. We have to embrace joy wherever we find it. Wherever those parades are, we've got to be ready to join in. And sometimes it takes a little courage to do that, because we know on the horizon, oh, this joy might not last. Tough times are probably ahead. And yet, it's those moments of joy that carry us through, that give us strength for those moments of struggle and suffering. This past Friday, we had a different kind of parade that Sean and I walked along. We brought Evangeline with us, but we went down to Washington Street and Keystone. It was actually the corner, it was Washington Park, sorry, but it's Keystone and 34th Street, which is kind of, it's a tough neighborhood in Indianapolis, and they last weekend had 6 murders that happened. The amount of death in that neighborhood is just beyond what should be happening. And the community, as a result, has banded together. And they have something called the 10-Point Coalition. that works in the community to promote peace. They work with the police officers so that everybody can be on the same page and communicate, and so that the community can kind of help hold the rest of the community accountable to using peace, to being together, loving one another. This 10-point coalition is headed by Reverend Charles Harrison, which is the pastor at Barnes United Methodist Church. United Methodist, represent. And so Sean and I heard about this, and we went down there with Evangeline and walked about 2 miles. And in this group of people, it was amazing who showed up. We had police officers, the Fraternal Order of Police president, talked for a while. It was an amazing message. I think our mayor was there. Hogsett was there. Yes. Indianapolis's mayor, not our mayor. All right. But Hogsett was there. And there were some families there. Families who had experienced the loss, had lost a child or a brother or a sister, whose family or friends had been among those who had died the weekend before. And they walked with us as well. And in the midst of that community, that sorrow, for a moment, it had a spark of joy, a spark of peace and love. And I like to hope that those families had a moment of peace where they knew that they were loved and supported. Something difficult and horrible happened, and yet they found a way to come together to bring something good out of that. Sometimes it takes courage. It takes courage to suffer and to persevere, but it also takes courage to embrace peace and joy when it comes. Palm Sunday is a reminder that although we know that tough times are ahead for Jesus, joy is good where you can find it. And Jesus loved a good parade. In addition to all of that, we also know the rest of the story. We know that although Jesus would suffer and die, 3 days later, he was right in Luke 18. He would come back from the grave. So speaking of joy in the midst or in unexpected ways, what do you call a parade of rabbits? You ready for this? What do you call a parade of rabbits hopping backwards? If you were at first service, sorry, you can't tell. Parade of rabbits hopping backwards. It's a receding hairline. Ah. Sorry, that's the best I can do today. You're going to go tell all your friends, though. I know you will. Joy is around the corner. We have a God who understands where we struggle. So if you are struggling right now, if you're facing something that feels insurmountable, it feels like there will be no end to what you are going through, just know you have a God who walks that road with you, who gets it. But even more, we know that while Jesus suffered, Jesus died, but 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. That was not the final end of that story. Suffering, death, pain, that is not the end for us either. We do know the future. We can see into that. We get a glimpse of that through Jesus Christ. And our future is that death does not have the final word. That while we might suffer, we might have moments of pain, and we will all eventually die, we know through Jesus that we will also find eternal life. We have that promise, and that's good news, right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, that's good news for us, that we know that this is not it. We look to that this week. And so as we enter into Holy Week, may we find the moments of joy. I wish for all of you an impromptu parade at some point. May we also have the courage and strength to walk through the suffering, to stay with Jesus, to hear the story. And we do all of that knowing we are an Easter people and we are living for Sunday. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you so much for your presence with us, for your son, Jesus Christ, for the ways that you have loved us through Jesus. I thank you, God, that he was willing to knowingly go in to Jerusalem to offer up his life for us. That he would even do that for those of us who time and time again continue to fail, to mess up. I thank you, God, for your constant presence, for your faithfulness with us. I thank you for the ways you walk with us through our difficult, dark, painful roads, through our struggles. And I pray, God, particularly for anyone here who might be struggling, I pray, God, that they would know that you are surrounding them, that your Holy Spirit would truly be with them. I pray, God, that your presence would be made known in the days ahead, and that in the struggle we would see, have our eyes open to those glimpses of joy. I pray, God, that we might have courage to suffer, but even more, that we might have courage to live as your Easter people, to embrace the joy where we find it, and that we might all persevere with you to the end. To Easter. We put all this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen.